Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about.
Good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
What?
Wake up, young man.
Good morning.
You were out late.
I told you not to tell anybody.
Oh, you're just rolling in. Oh, did you tell? So don't tell me that.
Don't tell, yes. Please don't tell anybody.
Good morning, Dave. What's going on? How are you? You look fabulous this morning.
Happy May 1st.
Thank
you. It's like January out there.
I know. And I've been talking all morning about heading over to the Cubs game this morning. And
I heard you and Roger talking about
that.
But
I'm looking forward to a cold beer and a hot dog, and it's going to be fine.
Well, it'll be cold.
You got to warm up. Well, you know what? You layer it on, and you're going to be fine. I went to game two. I call it game two, at Wrigley a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I layered up, and I was totally fine. It was just fine. Just got to make sure you're wearing some gloves, and you're all set.
Well, that's right, and wander around. I plead guilty. I have not been to Wrigley in a while, and I need to see, actually go in and see, you know, firsthand the updates and various things that have taken place there.
Inside the ballpark. And there's construction going
on
outside.
Inside,
it's
right.
A multiple-year project. People got to be patient because they're building a fabulous ballpark. But the inside Wrigley is beautiful. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how beautiful it looks.
Well, you know, I know you remember when we had all of the controversy over the lights. I was talking friends about that this weekend, and I went to one of the first night games. That ballpark just glowed inside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And for a cold day, right, that feels like January, it does look like June in there. So it'll be a fun game.
And
we're going to kick the Braves' ass
today. Even though we've had colder than normal weather, you know, things are starting to bloom. So
yes,
you are going to see the ivy come out. You are going to see green grass.
Yeah, good stuff.
And enjoy it. So I hope they play today.
I hope so too. I think they will. Hey, I wanted to tell you next week, and I'm like ridiculously excited about this, and I'm going to be talking to Bill Leff about it on his show at some time this week too. We are airing, and I full disclosure, we went to Vegas a few weeks ago and interviewed Don Rickles, and
hockey puck.
Yeah, I'll tell you though, he doesn't do any radio interviews. I like these exclusives that we get, but he does Howard Stern once in a great while, and he does the Kimmels and the Fallons once a year. So, you know, we've been trying for 4 years, and they finally invited us to Vegas to sit backstage with them. So we're spending about 45 minutes with them, and great clips. We've been going through clips that we've been given the opportunity to use from Carson and The Tonight Show and Letterman and a few other things, and it's going to be a great, great, great conversation that we're going to air next week. And actually, it's going to air on Don's 90th birthday.
Oh, I was going to say, I think you had mentioned to me that he was 90 or going to be 90.
Yep, 90th birthday. And then we're also going to have a conversation, a roundtable conversation in studio on the greatest stand-up comedians of all time with Steve Cochran, Bill Leff, Patty Vasquez, and Brian Noonan in studio.
Great.
That's going to be a blast.
That's going to be a blast.
It's nice to
yes.
hear those voices overnight. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to jump in a little bit here, sir. In 1752, Benjamin Franklin was in Philadelphia waiting for the steeple on top of Christ Church to be completed for his experiment. The steeple would act as his lightning rod. He grew impatient and decided that a kite would be able to get close to a storm cloud just as well, and he was struck by lightning. So he tested the first lightning rod. He's very excited about that. I have no clips for that. I have no audio.
No. No, I wouldn't think you would have anything.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing.
That would be great to have some pictures of that, though.
Wouldn't that be?
Yeah.
Yeah, some illustrations at least. Yeah. 1792, the U.S. established the first military draft. They've been talking in the news lately about women being required to sign up for the draft. That was something that broke last week. Here is a 1950s recruitment commercial for the U.S. military.
You want fast action, outdoor action, real man-sized action.
Ooh, man-sized
well,
action.
Here's action that tops them all in the combat branches of today's Army. And now if you qualify, you can choose the action branch you want. pick the artillery. Get in on the exciting missile and anti-missile field. Or pick the fast-moving armor. Work with the world's most up-to-date tanks. Or pick the mechanized infantry. The Fast Action Branch for Fast Action Outdoor Guys. Whichever branch you pick, today's Army is the most mechanized Freedom Force ever
assembled. I love those classic commercials from the 1950s. My favorite ones are giving military people like dating tips.
Yeah.
Like, open the door. Tell her she looks pretty. You know, those are my favorites. I love those.
I can remember in the 60s, yeah. Really, well, right before the escalation of the Vietnam War, pictures all over the place of the old Uncle Sam.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want you
yeah.
for the U.S. Army.
He's the face.
Mm-hmm.
He's the face. 1926, Maxwell Hoff's coffee. Trademarked its favorite or its longtime tagline, which was or is
good to the last drop.
Let's take a listen.
Ah, coffee. Maxine, we're nowhere with this plan.
You need a fresh cup of instant Maxwell House.
It's Vivian Vance.
That's the
Not
voice,
just
yes.
Instant Maxwell House. These flavor
hey,
buds make every cup taste fresh.
Give me a cup of coffee.
Like your first cup in the morning.
That's a good William Frawley.
Really fresh.
Good to the last drop. How about
you know where
that?
The phrase
good
came
fit.
From?
What's that?
Good to the last drop?
Uh-uh. Oh, yes, I do, but you tell the story.
Every cup tastes fresh, like
a president.
Yeah, Theodore Roosevelt was drinking, apparently, Maxwell House coffee and really enjoyed it and told some of the staff members there, this coffee is wonderful. It's good to the last drop.
And look at that.
And it stuck.
And still saying it today.
And still saying it today.
Yeah. 1930, big day in Chicago history. The first planetarium opened in the U.S., and it was right here in Chicago. Max Adler and architect Ernest Grunsfeld traveled to Germany to look at their planetarium, and that's kind of how they designed this one. It was founded, of course, by Max Adler, located on Northerly Island in Chicago. First planetarium, part of the Chicago Museum campus, which also included the John G. Shedd Aquarium and the Field Museum. The Adler opened in May 1930. For its design, it was awarded the Gold Medal of the Chicago Chapter of the American Institute of Architects, and it was declared a National Historic Landmark in 1987.
And a big draw for the Century of Progress.
Oh, that's right.
It was out there
in
1933 because
yep.
That whole area was the center of the Century of Progress.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. 1932, Al Capone, which, you know what, if you don't live in Chicago and you talk about Chicago with anybody around the country that doesn't live here, they still associated with Al
the
Capone
world.
And the mafia.
I've heard that.
Which is aggravating.
Numerous times.
Because we really don't talk about, I mean, I'm talking about it today because it was a history point, but nobody really talks about that
no,
around here. Nobody even
no,
thinks about that. But
no,
that's what we're associated with.
That, well, because of the TV shows, you know, Untouchables
yeah,
and
right.
And the other ones. And the movie with Kevin Costner that was out
true.
What, maybe 20
filmed
years
here.
Ago
yeah.
or so.
Yeah, it was more than that,
no,
I think, yeah.
indeed. I'm not kidding. Several times in our travels overseas, you know, you'll tell people from you're from Chicago and you get...
Well, he was he entered the Atlantic Penitentiary convicted of tax evasion. Let's listen to an original newsreel from 1932.
1931. Chicago gangland boss
All right, that's
Al Capone,
when he was convicted.
Alias Scarface, is arrested by federal prosecutors. Famed for the St. Valentine's Day massacre of Bugsy Moran's gang, he is also responsible for many other gang war bloodbaths. However, Capone managed to slip free of such charges in court. Upon moving from Brooklyn in 1920... he rose from a two-bit bootlegger to the undisputed warlord of Chicago gangsters. But a federal judge finally sentenced him to 11 years for, of all things, tax evasion.
And that's where he died. In jail.
Yeah.
Never got out. Thought he would. Never did.
He ended up playing a big role in the Boardwalk Empire series. Did you
that
ever watch
great.
Any
oh,
of
I
that?
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. Great show.
Very dramatic.
Very dramatic. Actually, it was very violent.
Oh,
very violent show. I mean,
some real brutal violence
yeah,
in there.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. 1957, Alan Freed hosts the Rock and Roll Show, the first primetime network rock show, widely credited for creating the name rock and roll. Let's take a little listen.
And here it is, Alan Freed's Rock and Roll Party. And here he is in person, Alan Freed.
Jubilee of Stars, and here we go to rockin' with Waylon Tenorman, Freddie Mitchell, and the Rock and Roll Boogie. Here we go.
little sampler there from Alan Freed. Pretty cool.
Let's get up and dance.
I saw you dancing up there. 1957, also the last broadcast of I Love Lucy on CBS. It was May 6th. It was called Lucy Dedicates a Statue. And then they went on to do some other things. They did the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour.
I remember that.
Which they did randomly for really about another, I think it was another 5 years, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, they had gotten a place in the country.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
And they had a house.
That was still on I Love Lucy. And then they syndicated it as Lucy in Connecticut, like almost as a separate show.
Oh, okay.
And then the day after the last filming of the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour in the early 60s, Lucy went and filed divorce from Desi. It was that quick. It is. Fantastic. I just wanted to listen to the rest of that. It's fabulous.
this is your announcer speaking.
Exactly. 1973, Ernie Banks fills in for Cubs manager Lachman, who was ejected during the game, thus technically becoming baseball's first black manager.
Okay.
It was a technicality, but that's how he first became. Isn't that pretty cool?
That is cool.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, 2004, the series finale to Friends ended. Thursday, by the way, Cinco.
Wait a minute, 2004?
Yeah.
It's been that long?
Yeah, it's been that long, 2004.
Oh,
I know,
right?
Go? And I got to tell you, still one of the most popular sitcoms in syndication.
Sure.
Thursday is Cinco de Mayo. What does Cinco de Mayo mean, Dave?
The 5th of May.
That's right. Held on May 5th. Celebrated in the U.S. and in Mexico, primarily in the state of Puebla, where the holiday is called El Día de la Batalla de Puebla, which is the Day of the Battle of the Puebla. It originated with the Mexican-American communities in the American West to commemorate the cause of freedom and democracy during the first wars of the American Civil War. And today, it means margaritas. And some great beer, some Dos Equis on Cinco de Mayo. So fabulous stuff there. So, hey, listen, the White House Correspondents' Dinner was last night.
I've seen all kinds of clips
from
that.
Yeah, we've got one little clip that we're going to play for you. It began in 1920. It became a
Did it really?
Yeah, it was but the annual dinner, not so much with all the humor and the roasting and all that other stuff.
Sure.
But it became 1920. Usually attended by both the president and the vice president. 15 presidents have attended at least one dinner, beginning with Calvin Coolidge in 1924. It's usually held in the last Saturday evening in April at the Washington Hilton. In 62, the dinner was only open until 1962. The dinner was only open to men, even though the membership of the White House correspondents included women. At the urging of Helen Thomas.
I was going to say, the one and only Helen Thomas, yes.
President Kennedy refused to attend the dinner unless the ban on women was dropped.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So, you know, it's been criticized as being too cozy between the press and the president,
mm-hmm.
which I get a little bit. Larry Wilmore from The Nightly Show, which aired after The Daily Show, he replaced Stephen Colbert, was the host. He was okay. Shantae and I were talking a little bit about it. And Roger and I were talking that he was getting a little crap for not being that great. But nonetheless, the president spoke, was very, very funny. But here's a little something that Larry Wilmore said about President Obama tonight. Let's take a listen.
Now let me just say, Mr. President, the office has taken its toll on you. You look terrible, Mr. President. No, you do, man. I mean, look at you. Your hair is so white. It tried to punch me at a Trump rally.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
President's hair is so white, he keeps saying all lives matter. All right, fine. Fine, I get it. No, but man, you came in here looking like Denzel. Right? Now you're going out looking like Grady from Sanford and Son.
Oh, it's terrible.
I know it's a dated reference, but you're dated, Mr. President.
That's you know what, though? You got to have a good sense of humor to obviously
oh, yes.
do that. And this dinner is all about, you know, roasting and all that other good stuff. So it's something that's kind of expected, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially in this day and age.
Yeah.